The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. It is Friday, July the 1st. Whether you are listening to the podcast in audio form or watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. If you're in the chat, let us know your favorite, the most underrated cornerback in the NFL is. Joining me to talk about the top 10 cornerback list. He didn't write the list, but he's an NFL, savant with his own newsletter, the Pick Six Podcast newsletter, cbssports.com/newsletters. Check it out. Subscribe to it. Get John Breach shot into your newsletter once a day. What's up, Breach?
Brinson, I guess you cashed the check I sent you. Is that why we're pushing the newsletter so much?
He said
if I bought him a flight to Costa Rica, which is where he is right now, which is why he's outside, that he would push the newsletter all week. So I guess this worked out for everyone.
You know, it's interesting. So I'm outside. I have an internet situation as we move and I'm not going to have like Google. Anyway, long story short, I'm using my buddy's house, but he's coming back. And so I'm set up here in his backyard in Costa Rica.
So what Brinson's telling us is that he is literally in a stranger's backyard. So if there's any gunfire or anything and he gets up and runs, it is because the police have been called. Brinson is breaking and entering and drinking, having fun from some random person's backyard.
This is actually just water, thank you. But I should have made I got some tips.
You would be the first person in the history of humankind to be drinking water from a red Solo cup, if that's the truth.
That's not, I drink water from red Solo cups all the time.
No one drinks water from a red Solo cup.
It's not even ice water, it's just water.
Oh, no, I don't believe it.
So we have another podcast scheduled. Vodka. I mean, look, we have a podcast scheduled for 2 p.m. It's going to be the mailbag for Monday. So the next show will come out on Monday in the audio feed. The video feed will be live as soon as we get done with this cornerback podcast. So if you're watching this one, stick around on the podcast channel, set your alerts. You'll get notified when we go live if you don't feel like listening to all the cornerback chatter. For that podcast breach, I'll actually make a little cocktail in this Solo cup to enjoy it on this lovely Friday afternoon. Anyway, let's get to the top 10 cornerbacks. Now, did you actually do a list yourself?
Do you have the rundown in front of you?
Sort of.
Well, so since you waited, you made me wait 5 minutes to start the podcast. So I literally didn't put my top 10 in the rundown until the moment this podcast started. It is in there now, but it was not in there at any point over the past 24 hours.
I have the, this is so annoying. Google is being like super annoying about switching back and forth at this. Anyway, all right, here we go. I got it now.
And in a bit of irony, I also put my top 10 in the newsletter today, which if Brinson had read it, he would have known that.
I actually did see that come across my email, and I was like,
you gotta click it, man. I need the open rate. It's gotta stay high.
I'll click it real quick. All right, let's see. In my defense, top 10 kickers is today's newsletter.
That's in the headline, right.
All right. Let's see. Let's go.
The top not mentioned.
You joined me for today's episode. I see your top 10 list. All right, open your newsletter as I do every day. Anywho. Let's get into it. All right. So, Patrick, how do you want to do this? We have Patrick Walker's
list from CBSSports.com. But I don't want to. Let's just do your top 10 list, and then we'll compare his afterwards. How about that?
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Patrick's, except we'll go. Let's do it.
All right, let's dive in. John Breach's top 10 cornerbacks at number 10, Darius Slay of the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 9, we're going to just knock out the bottom three here. I think they're kind of interesting. One, the veteran in Slay, and then two younger guys, really, Marlon Humphrey and Denzel Ward, with the Ravens and the Browns at 10, 9, and 8. Talk to me about those three players, or if you want to talk about one of them, and then we'll move to a grouping where, I'm just trying not to go – I don't want to go one by one because I feel like
Yeah, Slay's interesting because I feel like people have kind of – the Eagles got him from the Lions, and it felt like everybody kind of forgot that he existed. But remember how bad the Eagles secondary was before he got there. I mean, they were literally the secondary that you were making running jokes about, that they were never going to be any good until they fixed that. And then, boom, they bring in Darius Slay. And he had a great year last season. And I think that he probably fits in well with these two other guys. You look at Marlon Humphrey, you look at Denzel Ward. I think they're top 10 corners, obviously, because they're on my top 10 list, but I don't think, and you can judge this because it's not your top 10 list, that you would put any of these guys any higher, because I feel like when somebody makes an argument like, oh, how'd you leave this person off? Why is Kenny Moore not on your list, Breach? Well, then you have to, not only do you have to put Kenny Moore on the list, but you have to take someone else off the list.
Bill Barnwell always does a great job, I think, explaining, when you talk about Pro Bowl snubs. Like, if you're going to complain about somebody not being on the list, you really need to have someone who you're taking off the list to replace them with. Like, you can't just be like, that guy should be a Pro Bowler, because you can't expand it forever.
Yeah. And then Denzel Ward obviously just got a huge contract extension. He's one of those, if you're an NFL defensive coordinator, what you want is a guy who excels in man to man coverage. You can take receivers on one to one because that kind of frees up you to do whatever you want with the rest of the defense. And obviously when we get to the top of the list, we'll talk about one of the best shutdown guys, but Denzel Ward's been so good at that. And that's huge because now you're in a division where you have Jamar Chase, where you're going to have to worry about those Bengals receivers. Same with Marlon Humphrey. So, the Browns and Ravens, the fact that they do have two of the 10 best defensive backs is huge because they're in a division that's pretty high powered.
Yeah, I was just looking at the PFF grades for him. Darius Slay checks in at fourth overall, buoyed by his run defense actually brings him down a little bit, which is kind of funny. 84.5 rating in coverage, which is third best in the NFL. That's hard to do too. Like when you talk about, if you factor in a run defense grade, run defense is important, of course. Like you want to be able to tackle, but in a league where, 60% of the time we're in nickel and it's a pass first league. Like I'm more concerned about my cornerbacks being able to cover.
Deion Sanders is in the Hall of Fame and he tackled like two people in his entire career. So if you excel at covering, then the tackling as far as stopping being part of the run game doesn't really matter. You obviously don't want to get guys get outside you and give up the long run. So all you have to do is push the guy out of bounds. You don't need to be able to tackle.
There's a mosquito that is threatening to assault me right now. He's flying all over my screen. Anywho, yeah, I agree with you on that completely. And I'm going to kill him if he gets anywhere close to me.
And it's interesting. The Browns Ward's going to have a lot of challenges this year because the Browns obviously play the Bengals twice, but they also play the Chargers. Chargers are loaded at receiver. They play the Buccaneers, pretty loaded. They play the Bills, pretty loaded. They play the Saints, pretty loaded. So Ward's going to have his work cut out for him this year.
Yeah, Denzel Ward ranked 11th in PFF's overall grade. Certainly, I mean, nothing wrong with him being on there. I remember interviewing Denzel Ward back when he was coming out of college and before the draft, before he'd even been selected by Cleveland. I mean, he's like not a big dude. Like he's like our size and he's like smaller than me. And so I guess maybe the injury concerns are a little bit of a problem, but certainly as well as he's played, like he lived up to the contract. I think justifies the contract that the Browns gave him, unlike most of the other contracts that the Browns have given, although they did essentially reset the cornerback. They reset the market basically on like three different positions with David Njoku, Deshaun Watson, and Denzel Ward. Jair Alexander, of course, top Ward, I believe, after that. But, you know, Ward went above Jalen Ramsey on average annual value, and the Browns were just willing to do that because they don't want to lose good players on their roster. Okay, can't really blame them.
It's crazy to look at the Browns' 2018 draft, not to go completely off track here, where you have Baker Mayfield, probably almost certainly gone. Then you have Denzel Ward, great pick. Then you have Austin Corbett, already gone. And then you have Nick Chubb, superstar. So it's like your top four picks were – it was so hit or miss.
But it also looked like all four of those guys were just going to, I mean, be like cornerstones for the Browns. And, you know, they didn't – you know, they Baker's gone out of their own doing, as is like Corbett. They could have brought back, right? Or they trade Corbett?
No, Corbett they could have kept, but – he was good. I mean, that's the thing. He was good.
They had a lot invested in their offensive line anyway. Right. And then Humphrey. I mean, look, I think Humphrey and that entire the entire Ravens team, I think, is just really a prime for a bounce back situation in 2022. All right. Next up, a guy I think probably is higher on this list, if not for dealing with injuries. Let me look real quick. Because I believe I should have included him in this because I'm pretty sure Tre'Davious White was Tre'Davious White was 2017, right? In the 2017 draft
First round.
Marshawn Lattimore, Tre'Davious White, and am I wrong? And Xavier Howard was not, or was he?
Are you getting all your not, your 2017 draft picks mixed up? Is that what's going on here?
Yes, correct.
Marlon Humphrey. I knew how strong that draft was with corners. Yeah.
Yeah. Marlon Humphrey, Tre'Davious White, Marshawn Lattimore.
Dory Jackson.
Yep. That's right. I mean, a really good draft in terms of cornerbacks. Just trying to make sure I don't miss another person. I'm sure I am. Whatever.
Debo Awuzie, Bengals corner, was also 2017.
Point, of course, the Bengals somehow get in here. My point being is that, like, Trey White, to me, you know, the Bills traded with the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills traded with the Chiefs and would have – it's kind of crazy if you think about it. I never really processed it this way because nobody killed the Bills for trading down. The Chiefs traded up to get Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes.
Right. This is who they got in the Mahomes trade. Yes. That's where you're going with this.
They got Tre'Davious White out of it. And so, like, nobody's killed him for it because Tre'Davious White's really good. And they got an extra first-round pick, which they used to go up and get Josh Allen. But it is interesting that the one impediment to the Bills making it back, making it out of the AFC, is the Chiefs, who they handed Patrick Mahomes to on a silver platter in the year prior to them drafting Josh Allen. Now, again, Allen is fantastic. Like, Allen and Trey White, you know, I think you take those – like, if the Chiefs called the Bills and said, hey – we'll trade you Tre'Davious White we'll trade you Patrick Mahomes for Tre'Davious White and Josh Allen. The Bills say no, right?
Brenton, I smell a Brenton Twitter poll coming because if you ask 32 NFL general managers, would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or would you rather have Josh Allen and Tre'Davious White?
The answer is Josh Allen and Tre'Davious White.
I think.
Easily,
maybe?
I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's easy.
You're talking about like an all-pro caliber, like definitely Pro Bowl level quarterback.
I would probably lean Josh Allen and Tre'Davious White. It's just crazy to think that as good as Patrick Mahomes has been, four straight AFC title games, two of the past three Super Bowls, that we're talking about the fact that you could argue the Bills didn't lose. You know, that seems a trade you should get smashed on. You lose every time. But, you know, getting Tre'Davious White, it's all worked out for him.
I just got texted a picture of this is what a live pod from my backyard in Costa Rica looks like.
If you are listening to the audio version, definitely go check out YouTube because Brenton is in a backyard in Costa Rica, Raleigh, Costa Rica.
Tre'Davious White is, you know, look, I think he shoots up. If you're picking a candidate to shoot up into the top three out of this list, at the bottom of this list, I think it's him because he's coming off an injury, an elite player when he's healthy, and certainly somebody who should have a big bounce back season. Marshawn Lattimore, also part of that 2017.
Well, real quick with Tre'Davious White, though, and that is the whole thing. You're coming off an ACL tear. That's such a huge injury for a cornerback because obviously speed's more important than them than almost any other position and lateral movement and everything they have to do with their legs. And so You just need to see him on the field and comfortable again before I go put him up in the top five. Like you just said, he could shoot right up. If we're talking about this list next year and he's number three, it wouldn't be surprising at all. But you just want to make sure he hasn't lost a step after a serious injury like that.
Agreed completely. Marshawn Lattimore, it's interesting because we were doing we did the offensive line rankings or the tackle rankings with Jeff Kerr earlier this week and sort of talked about that 2017 draft class for the Saints. You know, Marcus Williams gone now. But we have Ryan Ramczyk. I guess Alex Anzalone is gone and Trey Hendrickson gone too. But, I mean, you still have Ramczyk, Kamara, and Lattimore. Really, I think, you know, probably the biggest three pieces from that draft class who helped launch this team back into Super Bowl contention after they've gone 7-9 three straight years. You know, he's going to be asked to be an even bigger piece for the Saints, I think, now that you have Sean Payton gone. And they're really – I mean, with Dennis Allen as the head coach, I think they're going to be a defensive team. Xavier Howard – I was talking to a buddy about dynasty rankings, like who he should pick. And he was looking at Garrett Wilson of the Jets. And I personally would take – he could do Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks or Jameson Williams. And I pointed out that, you know, while Garrett Wilson might be the guy for the Jets, he's also, you know, going to have to go up against Xavier Howard and Tre'Davious White and whoever Bill Belichick is throwing at him, you know, six out of this 17 games per year. And that is not going to make life easy for a rookie, even if you've got a pedigree. So, yeah, Howard, I have no problem with the positioning there. And then Lattimore, same thing. I mean, he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think it's a little interesting when you start looking at your top four.
Well, real quick, with Lattimore, he's going to be playing in a totally revamped secondary this year. I know you said that now that Dennis Allen's head coach, this might become more of a defensive team, but it really felt like they were making that movement over the past 2 years, because Drew Brees was kind of we all saw Drew Brees in 2020. He could barely throw the ball 20 yards downfield, and that became kind of a defensive team last year with Jameis Winston. And Jameis gets injured, and we saw the games where they beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. They swept them because of how well their defense played. I mean, they shut out Tom Brady. Tom Brady doesn't ever get shut out, and so I think that becomes — they go full defense. This is the year it's going to happen. And we said they added our favorite player. You don't have the soundbite. Should I just do it? Tyron Matthew. So they added Tyron Matthew.
We had it for the safety podcast. I had to say Tyron Matthew a bunch of times.
And then obviously Marcus May also. So two new safeties back there who are both talented. So I think that, Marshawn Lattimore is going to be the captain of that secondary. And if that defense is going to be good, it's going to be because of him.
Pretty sure
I'm now covering guys like that.
Blood after killing a mosquito. I'm with you there. Looking at so the top four, I think it's interesting too. Now, I'm not gonna bash Patrick Walker for his list, but he does have Trayvon Diggs at number five. As a Cowboys homer, you know, I think that's interesting that you don't have him in your top 10. JC Jackson, you guys both have in the top five, though. Monster year for him. You have him at number four. Of course, he got paid in the offseason because Belichick didn't want to franchise tag him or pay him, so he went to the Chargers. It seems reasonable. He should have a ton of success there. And then your top three, Jair Alexander, A.J. Terrell at number two, and Jalen Ramsey at number one. I think Packers fans will probably tweet you if they read your newsletter complaining that Terrell is two. But, man, I mean, what a pick by the Falcons. I thank God CeeDee Lamb is good, because if he wasn't, I would be getting roasted left and right by Falcons fans because I ripped the Falcons for taking Terrell over CeeDee Lamb at the time. And I mean, frankly, it doesn't look like a bad pick at all.
Yeah. And real quick with Jair Alexander, same thing I said.
I was just going to let you ramble on the top four.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's just,
actually, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. And okay, when we come back, Breach will discuss his top four.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know I'm not supposed to talk about the commercials because it's an audio podcast too, but like if you're watching on YouTube, I mean, we are on a heater commercial run thanks to being, you know, part of the Paramount, you know, we work for Paramount. And you know, we have South Park commercials, South Park, the Streaming Wars, go check it out. It's live on Paramount Plus. Also the, that movie with Bob, oh God, is it Bob Odenkirk? Yeah. No, with Bryan Cranston, the lottery movie on there, like the Marge and Doug go large, Doug and Marge go large or whatever it is. It's fantastic. I watched it. It's awesome. I highly recommend it.
Jerry and Marge go large.
Yeah.
I want to see how many names you were going to come up with. Yeah. You know what? My wife actually wants to watch that this weekend, so we probably will.
Holiday check weekend, it out.
Get some extra time.
Give us your top. Tell me about your top four cornerbacks, Bree.
All right. You know, so we talked about the ranking of Tre'Davious White and why he's down at seven. Part of that is because he's coming off an injury. And I think that some people might have Jaire Alexander in their top two, which is fine. I obviously am not going to disagree with that. I don't think it's bad to have him at number three. He's a good corner, but same thing. You always have the injury consideration. It's not as big of a deal for me because it's not a leg injury that he's trying to bounce back from. I think that's a little bit more serious for a corner. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. So just because he missed 13 games last season, and he was kind of slow to get back. That is the only reason that he is there. Obviously, he came back and he did play in the playoffs, but I don't think we really got, you know, it was a snowy, cold game. We didn't really get and the 49ers aren't a team that is, you know, yes, they have Deebo Samuel, but they're running the ball with him. And that's not someone who's going to scare the Packers. The 49ers offense is not one that is going to throw downfield in the snow in negative 20 degree weather. So Jaire Alexander didn't really have to worry about that. So I think that will be interesting. I do think that he will have another big season. I think JC Jackson is someone to watch here because look, Bill Belichick's defense completely revolves around having kind of a shutdown corner. We've seen that he loves that. That's why the one time they went out and spent money was Stephon Gilmore. Let's get him in here. They win a Super Bowl. And so is Jackson a product of playing in a Belichick defense, or is he just overall awesome? The Patriots were dumb for letting him go. I think that's going to be something to watch. So is he going to take a step back? Is this going to be a Malcolm Butler situation where as soon as he leaves New England, he just falls off the radar and is not great anymore? So we'll see with JC Jackson.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I was like out here, like it was very still out here in Costa Rica. And now my buddy who owns this Costa Rican, getaway spot was willing to bring me a fan outside. And so it is now much cooler. So shout out to Carr. And you can see his big giant deck behind me. For bringing the breeze because it's very still in Raleigh right now.
We spare no expense on the Pick Six podcast. Brinson has a fanboy who literally is bringing him fans and is in Costa Rica. He's in Costa Rica, bunny ears.
That's right. The JC Jackson thing, I agree with you completely, is really interesting. You know, you have in LA this team that's so hyped up and I don't think that JC Jackson is going to be like, he's going to be asked to do a lot. And I promise I'm not hammered. I wish I was hammered. I might get hammered. People in the chat are
he's recording outside.
I'm sitting outside in like 85 degree weather. Like it's not like I don't, I mean, it's cool out here, but it's not like it's better than last week. I'll say that. Anyway, you look at that secondary and they've got JC Jackson, they have Bryce Callahan in the slot. You know, they've got, how am I blanking on, Asante Samuel Jr. And they got Derwin and Nasir Adderley, like back at the safety. Like, I don't think you would hope that he can make that, like that secondary should be good enough where it's not going to expose JC Jackson if he is a product of Belichick. But I would always be concerned if I'm somebody who is paying a former Patriot that Bill Belichick declined a franchise tag. Like now, I mean, like it worked out great for the Chiefs and Joe Tooney, you know, and JC Jackson. It's just like he sort of hung his hat on these, on, you know, piling up interceptions. And those aren't always the sort of thing that you can guarantee consistency on a year to year basis.
Right. Yeah, that's that can be a struggle. And then obviously, you know, I think AJ Terrell is probably one of the underrated guys just because he plays for the Falcons and not someone you get to hear about a lot, and probably not someone that most people have seen a lot of, because, you know, who's watching Falcons games? They were so bad last season, and people probably aren't going to watch much of them this season. But when you talk about most of these guys are first round picks that panned out, which is just surprising. And, you know, he was the 16th overall pick in 2020, was good his rookie year, was even better his last year, last season. And it's really surprising because of how bad that defense is. It's really him just shutting down his side of the field. But if the Falcons had any other good defenders, that you would think that defense could be good. They have a good foundation with him, but, you know, nothing else.
I mean, the Falcons, I mean, like, I'm not trying to bash the Falcons. I mean, but they're definitely one of the lesser rosters in the NFL right now. I mean, like, if you're ranking rosters, I think they're like unquestionably bottom five. Now, you could, like, Drake London, we don't, you know, he's a rookie. We don't know how it's going to pan out, if he's going to be, you know, a foundational piece, but I think certainly you would take him right now just based on where they draft him and his production and his sort of, you know, pedigree coming out of college. Caleb McGarry, you're probably tossing in there. I don't think they picked up the option on Lindstrom. Maybe I have that backwards. Kyle Pitts, obviously a foundational piece. But then on defense, like, it's just A.J. Terrell.
And Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, but I mean, even Grady Jarrett was, like, drafted in 2015. I think he's awesome still. But, you know, if you were starting a franchise, you would want Grady Jarrett on there, but probably not at his cost and at his age. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be shocking if they traded him midseason if it worked out contractually. And then first overall, look, I don't have A.J. Terrell, Jair Alexander, 2 and 3. Like, they're both elite players, so I don't really have a problem with it. Terrell's going to get real paid real soon, by the way. And Jalen Ramsey, having anybody else at one would be kind of crazy because Ramsey's just freaking awesome.
It is. And it's crazy how long he has sustained that success, because, look, you just lose a small step in the NFL and receivers are blowing by you, like we saw Jamar Chase doing the Super Bowl against Ramsey. But no, Jalen Ramsey.
I don't have a dunk button. I can't do anything for you. I'm sorry.
But Jalen Ramsey has been good for so long. I mean, we're talking, his rookie year was 2016. That Jacksonville defense in 2017 was one of the best of this century, one of the best since 2000. You probably top 15, maybe, in NFL history. I mean, they were that. Right? I mean, they were that good. Okay. Blake Bortles was their quarterback with the AFC title game. And they should have – the fumble that should have been returned for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, Miles Jack, and it got called back because they said he was down even though he wasn't down, and the Patriots came in the Super Bowl.
By the way, I mean, you know, since I can bring this up to you, but not – I probably wouldn't have done it if Patrick Walker was doing the show instead. Actually, I definitely would have done it because I'm a troll, even if even if it's like somebody who likes the team on here is being like nice and taking time out to be the guest. Like, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, does it bother you that if you're a Cowboys fan, does it bother you that you could have gone Jalen Ramsey, Derrick Henry instead of Zeke Elliott and Jalen Smith? I mean, my God, if you had Jalen Ramsey and Derrick Henry on your roster right now as the Cowboys with that offensive line over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy to think about, but there's always, you know, you can do that with every team where you just second guess, look who got picked, taken after. But when you think about, like, the person taken right after, I do think that changes, it makes you feel almost a little more foolish, because obviously Zeke Elliott was taken with the fourth overall pick in 2016, and Jalen Ramsey was taken with the very next pick at fifth overall. And that was when everyone was saying, don't take a running back in the first round. And if you do, certainly don't take one in the top half of the first round. Wait till the end of the first round. So no one thought taking a running back at fourth overall was a good idea. And in that sense, it was Jalen Ramsey's right there. And he was the undisputed best cornerback in that draft. And you know what? A lot of times, cornerbacks don't – when you're the undisputed best player in the draft, you don't always live up to the hype. And Jalen Ramsey has absolutely lived up to the hype.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to, like, bash Zeke Elliott or anything like that, because he lived up to that. Like, he sort of – he didn't justify the pick, but, like, the play – the way he played, you know, they went to the – they won the division, and, you know, with him and Dak playing so well their rookie year, and it's like, you know, Zeke was as advertised early on in his career, but the reality of drafting a running back that high is it's just simply a difficult position to sustain the level of play because of the wear and tear that you're getting. and you look at the guys drafted after him, Jalen Ramsey, Ronnie Stanley, I know he's hurt, but still, you know, elite tackle, DeForest Buckner, Jack Conklin immediately afterwards. I mean, that's a bunch of good dudes. And then, of course, Laremy Tunsil, who's been elite as well and only fell because of the gas mask bong thing. I think it's a good list, Breach. If I'm trying to think if Patrick had anybody. AJ Terrell at 9 is way too low for him on
you
his
know,
list.
I was looking at his list, and I think the only – I'm not – like, I don't hate – he had Kenny Moore on the list. I you know, Kenny Moore would have been in my top 12. Trey Diggs would have been in my top 15. You know, obviously he
had – Diggs had all the picks, but, like, he – like, I mean, he was a coverage liability.
Got burned a few times. Yeah, yeah, there was just – I mean, he had an up-and-down rookie year. His highs were really high, and his lows were really low. But he's
Diggs ranked 80th in 80th on PFF's rankings, 65th in terms of coverage. I mean, he ranked below, was he even the highest ranked Dallas? Probably not. Anywho.
But you know what? Like we said, this is me putting a Bengals, but Patrick is a Cowboys guy and he has Diggs at 5. And, you know, like we said, Diggs had a huge, as far as interceptions go, had a huge, huge, huge rookie season in that category. But other than that, you know, I feel like his list was pretty solid. Maybe you switch. Who would you do? Switch A.J. Terrell and Denzel Ward?
I would definitely have Terrell on his list. He had him at 9. I mean, I'm not putting Terrell. I'm moving Terrell and Trayvon Diggs. I'm moving Diggs down. Terrell up, Tre'Davious White up too. I don't think anybody is taking, I don't think anybody's taking Trayvon Diggs as good as he was last year in terms of intercepting the ball, and as good, you know, he's tons of upside. I think anybody's taking him over Tre'Davious White, assuming Tre'Davious White is back and healthy.
It's also hard to rank players coming off their rookie season. We'll talk about the kickers next week, and I had to rank Evan McPherson. Do you put him in the top 10? You know, and we'll find out next week. But it's just when they only have
who's John Breach's number one kicker? Let me tune in to find out
who is ahead of Justin Tucker. But that's how you kind of feel about Trey Diggs here, is that even if he gets better, there's no way he's going to match his interception total from this past season. I mean, it's almost borderline impossible. And so, just because there is some luck involved, interceptions, not just your playmaking ability. And just because he has fewer interceptions, it doesn't mean he's going to be worse next season. So, and he's got a lot of room for improvement. So I think he can definitely be better in his second year. And, you know, maybe he will crack this top 10 list someday.
Entirely possible. All right. That'll do it for the cornerback show. I've got one more. We got one more live YouTube show to do with me sitting out here in Costa Rica.
John Breach.
So if you're hanging out on the YouTube channel, I don't know how you hang on the YouTube channel. Anyway, there's going to be a new show that pops up in a second. We're doing mailbag. It'll be released in audio form on Monday, but I'm going to go make myself a cocktail and in my red Solo cup because I'm out of water now. And then we'll be back for the second show, or another live show in a few minutes. If you're listening to it, check it out on Monday. And if you're listening to the podcast on Friday, have a great holiday weekend. Talk to you guys in a little bit.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.